Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, in humility in our hearts. We're so thankful, Lord, for the many things that you give to us, eternal life, freedom, and, Lord, especially this ability to have communion, Lord. We pray that you would continue to bless this service this evening and help us to truly enjoy ourselves in your presence, Lord. Speak into our hearts the depths of your word. May it become life within us. We pray for your blessings, Lord, upon this. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, here we go. we're just going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be reading the rest of this when we start the communion service. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're just going to begin at the 27th verse. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Hallelujah. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to deal with something here that I think is important. It's pretty clear with the way the apostle brings out communion that it's also like almost like it's a testing ground, right? To see if we're in the right place. Every time we do communion, it gives us the opportunity to make sure to like check up or do a checkup. That's what he means by examine yourself. If you're saying, well, I haven't done that yet, well, then get busy. You knew communion was coming, so that was the time to do the checkup. The idea about that is if you've got an issue between you or your brother or between you and the Lord, you want to have that cleared out of the way. Because if you take communion and you've got issues that has not been made right, then you're actually putting yourself in jeopardy. You're putting yourself in a bad position. And in the early church in Paul's day, people were sick, weak, struggling, even passing away because taking communion without doing this checkup. Praise the Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through some scripture about what are we looking for. Just like if you do go to a doctor or a dental, you go to some kind of a checkup, they're going to be looking for something. They're going to look for certain things. And so if you're going to examine yourself, you need to know what you're looking for. That's really important. Amen. So first of all, I want to kind of bring this to a reality. Communion is based on the Passover. So always keep in mind what communion is rooted in. It comes from Passover, which is the feast in the spring, but it's typifying the feast that was inaugurated the day that Israel was released from Egypt. So communion is a celebration of freedom, where you have been released from your old past, from the grips of Satan, from sin, from the world, and from the systems of man. Aren't you glad that you've been released from that? It is the opportunity to be grateful and filled with happiness and joy and thanksgiving that God is so good to us in our lives and is pouring out his blessings in our lives. Passover was a time of really developing the right spirit and the right attitude. It was an expectation that you were leaving bondage and going into a promised land. You know, when men escape from prison, and there's people who've escaped from prison, life isn't so great for them. You know, Typically, you escape from prison and you're in hiding. And you're running and you're hiding and you're running and you're hiding and you're living off of scraps. And probably some of these guys wonder, why did I do that? When I was in prison, I had 3 square meals a day. I could take showers. I had a gym. I had all the entertainment and TV I wanted. And now here I am living with the mosquitoes. But when Israel was being released from the house of bondage, their promise was, you're not going to be doing that. That wasn't the idea. They ended up doing that, but that was because they couldn't get the prison mindset out of their heads. But God's plan was, we'll get you out of there and we'll put you right into a promised land. Imagine if there was somebody who knew that they were going to escape from prison and end up on an island, just, you know, enjoying the sun or whatever it is, you know, the water, the waves. That'd be pretty exciting, right? That doesn't happen in real life. But that's what God promised Israel. So saints, when you think about communion, think about how it is remembering that Jesus went into the house of prison for you. He became a prisoner to the cross. He took your place in bondage so you could be released. Not like Barabbas, who probably went back to a life of crime, but as people who were like him, but delivered into a life of righteousness, freedom, and love, and peace, and joy. Hallelujah. So it has to be, in your mind, something more than just a ritual. This is really what I want to get to. The danger of any feast, and what God had to deal with Israel with every one of those feasts, was, he said, you've made it a stink in my nose. Now, why was their feast a stink with God is because they turned it into just a ritual. Oh, here we go again. Here's the cycle. We're going to do this feast again. When in reality, it was meant to remind them again of what happened. That's why Paul says, when you take communion, do as Jesus said, you do it in remembrance of him. But you're also thinking ahead of him coming. When he came the first time, he's coming again. Amen? So, the first time the word similar to communion shows up is in Exodus 25. I love this. God has instructed Moses on how to build the tabernacle, the worship center, and the whole thing is structured in such a way that it's formed around the Holy of Holies, which is formed around the Ark of the Covenant, which is formed around the mercy seat, right? And the cherubim. And so God tells Moses, and you shall put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. And there, he says, I will meet you. I will commune with you above the mercy seat. That's beautiful, isn't it? And between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all things which I will give you in commandment unto the children of Israel. God is saying, once you set this whole thing up, the whole purpose, the whole entire system, the way it's set up, the doorways and the access points and the sacrifices and the priests doing their thing, Levites doing their thing, high priests doing their thing, everybody's doing their form of worship. The whole point is going to come down to this place where God communes with us. It's all about communion, right? And even though we take a natural bread and a natural wine, those things do represent something we're experiencing every single day. We get to experience his word broken to us. We get to experience his blood, the revelation of the word interpreted and revealed and stimulating us and getting us excited, amen. We get to be involved in that. What a blessing. So when we take communion, that's what it's for. The danger of some, you know, I know someone said, Brother Branham, we take communion every single week. And he said, that's probably more accurate. You know, I remember him saying that, right? But he does comment on that again another place, and he says, the problem with that is it becomes a tradition. And you lose the feeling of the importance of it because it doesn't become separate, unique, and special. So, I don't think we've had communion enough, but as often as we should, but that's why we're making it so that it's at least four times a year, amen? We can do it more than that, but at least four times a year. And in my heart, I just thought, you know, this is the beginning of a brand new year. It's a great time to have communion because it's a time to be thinking about starting over, starting fresh. Last year was last year. This is a brand new year. This is a fresh, brand new day. It's a new slate. It's a new canvas. You can start all over creating your world. Amen? And so I love the idea of having communion and thinking of how, again, whatever your prison and whatever you were facing in 2016, you're released from that, saints. You're free from that. The Lord is taking you out of that. Hallelujah. And you're entering in a promised land of 2017. So when we take communion that way, think of it that way. Also, you're protected. You know, easily Israel could have been found out by the Egyptian guards and captured and recaptured and put into solitary confinement and really taken care of. But God set them up in such a way, he said, I want you to eat the communion with sandals on your feet, your coat on, your staff in your hand. You got to be ready to move. When I say move, you move. Because he knew that. That's how dangerous it was. And they put the blood on the doorposts and so on. And it was all so that so that death would miss them because God says, I'll pass over you. You know, there's an interesting way to look at Passover. God says, I'll pass over you. But in a sense, it means that when death is moving by you, I'm going to hover over you. So death isn't going to get you. Because when death comes near, they're going to see me, and death will be afraid, and it'll be going a different way. So when you take communion, you're taking a symbol of an experience you're enjoying. There's so many times when the devil wants to snuff you out. And so many times when perhaps you could have been killed. You might not even be here today. But God has hovered over you. And not just a physical passing, but a spiritual death is always encroaching upon us. We're constantly at warfare with the things of wickedness and darkness and death. But we're also fighting because we are light. And light always has to fight in war against darkness. So keep that in mind. And just keep that in mind that you know, having communion often is great. It's wonderful. But sometimes if you're not careful, it becomes just a routine. And when it does that, it's no longer enjoyable by God. Communion is something that God wants to enjoy too. Because it's a sharing back and forth. And I love the word commune, which means a deep, meaningful conversation between two people, face to face. So I love that scripture. Don't forget it. It's Exodus 25, 21. Luke 24, and this is something I referred to this morning, but it says, behold, two of them were going that day, that same day, to the village called Emmaus, which was before Jerusalem, about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So saints, not only are we communing with God, we get to commune with each other. You know, that seed gene of God that's in you, that part of God in you wants to communicate and fellowship with the part of God in your brother and in your sister. So as we fellowship with each other, two fellows in one ship, right? We're communing with each other. Guess what happens when you and I start communing? He draws near. Jesus always comes around two people who are talking about him. Isn't that awesome? So keep that in mind. And then don't forget that your desire should always be, I want to be around more and more people who commune on the things of Christ. Because we go to work and we go to school and we have to go in the world and do our shopping and do all kinds of things. And we're constantly communing with people. Is that true? But we must be aware that the people we're connecting with, the people we're communing with, there may be some people that we need to uncommune with. Is that true? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Hallelujah. Meaning that's what that symbolizes. When you take that wine, you're taking the wine as a symbol that what you're ingesting into your system, you are partaking of the communion of a communication between you and God. Revelation is God speaking directly to you. It's a communication, it's communion. He says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? It's the sharing of the body. We're each one of us is a part of the body. Me being a part is not better than your being a part. Your part is as valuable as my part. My part is devalued if you're not part of it. I become more valuable if you're in it. And you become more valuable if I'm in it. So we create greater value by being together. Like, you know, that's just a beautiful picture if you see it that way. So finally, the point being made is in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 10, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Christ is one bread, but we're one bread. Because we're being able to take his word into us, which is himself, and we become one with him. The word communion, co, together, in union. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And finally, I like this. 2 Corinthians 6 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for the fellowship, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? It's not possible. There's light, there's no darkness. There's darkness, there's no light. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that's why I'm saying some of the communion we are having is, in a sense, the communication, the connection we have with people sometimes is actually hindering our communion with the Lord and with one another. So let's just pay attention to that. And finally, the Bible, Paul's one of his last letters he writes, he sends off to the Corinthians, and he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Great way to end that chapter, or that Bible, or that letter, rather. I love that, don't you? The communion of the Holy Spirit. See, saints, communion is a Holy Spirit thing. It's spiritual. It's something we get to share between us and God, and it's something we share between each other. Communion. Hallelujah. Just a couple of quotes, and then we'll start the service. Brother Branham was talking about the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were removed from the presence of God. They were removed from the precious home they lived in called the Garden of Eden. They were removed from all of that. But God didn't just send them out empty. He sent them out with a promise, because they went out with the slapping sound of lambskin against their skin. A bleeding lamb God had sacrificed for them, meaning that ultimately it was going to take sacrifice to bring them back and restore. And what Brother Branham ends up saying here in this message, I think it's the Seven Church Ages at the end there, He says, since animal blood caused the separation or the fall, let animal blood be shed, so then God and man can have communion again. Not an animal, but the ultimate animal was Jesus, the Lamb, who died, who made a way for us to have communion again with Almighty God. It takes that blood. So when you take the wine tonight, think of the fact that as that wine is going to become part of your bloodstream and his bloodstream are becoming one bloodstream. It's the Holy Spirit in you that's creating an open communication between you and him. Hallelujah. It's a good type, isn't it? And finally, he says here, so this is in the Communion Message 1965. I think it's pretty powerful. I know it's thought about, but he preached the rapture message, which to me is a landmark message, right? But then the very next message he preaches is communion. You think that, you know, here he has only so many more days to live. He's going to be off the scene. He would really pick these really important messages to be getting to us, which they were that way. But then he preaches this communion message. It's a pretty important message if you go back and hear it. But just in paragraph 41, he says, so if you don't take this communion with sincerity, you're just taking it as a tradition. Well, our church observes communion once every Sunday or once every month or twice a year. You go up and say, well, it's my time, and then take communion. Why? It's a stink to God. It's just a tradition. That's why, as he says here, you've got to be sincere. So that's all I'm asking you to do tonight. Would you agree with me that you be sincere? Now, since these are just symbols, but remember, Brother Branham says God actually comes down and meets you with even within symbols. He says, people, he says, take communion and in faith are healed. People are delivered taking communion. It's not just a natural thing, and it's not just a natural thing typing a spiritual thing. It is actually a spiritual event we're about to do here. It's a spiritual event. If you come with sincerity and with faith, anything can happen. And how many has that desire in your heart? That's what I desire that. I want to see God in that. If Jesus broke a natural bread and then he appeared, why couldn't he do the same thing with us today? Of course. Absolutely. So with that being said, we will begin the communion service. How many loves him with all your heart? Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the word of life. I pray, Lord, that as we are learning now and hearing that how important it is not to let this just become a routine or just to become a tradition, but let it be truly a spiritual event. Let it be something we're sincere about, passionate about, excited about, energized. Lord, if it's true that we're going to do that in with these natural things that do type spiritual things, let us realize the higher level of what we're doing and the actual spiritual communion that we have with you as we read your word, when we pray. Let us, Lord, when we pray, when we read your word, let us understand that we need to be just as sincere, if not more, when we do that. And Father God, I pray that you'll just develop that passion and sincerity within us. When we go to pray, let there just be such an excitement, oh God, I'm speaking to Almighty God. As Daniel once said in the Bible, I fall on my face because it's hard for me to imagine how I can possibly be speaking to you, my Lord. Lord God, make that something that humbles us so much and help us to realize how blessed we are to be a part of this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I can imagine the children here are like, this is a long day. Right? They're really troopers. We have to really appreciate our little ones here because they're troopers, right? Hallelujah. We're going to begin at verse 23, and then we'll read on down to verse 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. And by the way, saints, proclaiming his death, it's a celebration for us because his death equals our victory. His death equals our life. Jesus died your death so you could live his life. Isn't that something to be excited about? I mean, that's what I love. Amen. I would just like to get started here, and if my brother Mark can come on up and help us out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother James, you want to come on up and help us out? Praise the Lord. How many appreciate these two brothers serving the Lord since they were little? And God has blessed them and used them in a mighty way. We appreciate them so much. Hallelujah. I'll just stand in the middle and you can stand here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just want to praise you and thank you for this bread that represents the bread of life, representing your very body. Lord Jesus, you were created by your own supernatural power in the womb of a woman to be the very bread of life that came down from heaven. You were made, Lord, and everything about that fashioning and development was Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled. It was the Word. You were the Word, and you are the Word. And Lord, as you came as a complete loaf to be broken, a complete bread that was meant to be broken, so that it could be something we could partake of. If you had not been broken, we couldn't partake of you. We couldn't receive of your Spirit that was released. So we thank you, Lord God, for that. And we praise you for it, Lord. We ask your blessing on this bread that we're about to partake of. In your precious name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.